Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is your official Leguizamarama spoiler warning. Have you not watched season 2, episode 6 of Bloodline and you really want to and you don't want any spoils? Well, then don't bloody listen to this episode. That's crazy. But we will do a bit of chit chat at the start. So you're welcome to listen to that. What are we going to talk about? I don't know. Spoiler warning. I'm sorry. I'm tired. Bye.
Peace. I hate the word.
Hello, welcome to Missions X Leguizamarama, a podcast where two people watch everything starring John Leguizamo, their favorite little actor. He's been in movies, he's been in TV shows, he's been in just about everything. I'm one of those hosts. My name is Zachary Ruane, and you might know me from
people are going to think something happened to their headphones.
Goodness, I just can't think of another joke.
What was the last thing you ate?
You might know me as the guy that just ate some falafels.
Oh, yum.
I'm joined, as always, by my dear co-host, Mish Witrup, who you might know from...
Haven't eaten a Mentos, two of them, two mint Mentos.
Oh, I didn't know we were counting snacks.
Oh, of course.
A strawberry.
Ooh.
Mish,
yes,
how are you, mate? You well?
Yeah, no, I'm good.
You're tired? You said that in
I did say that in spoiler. I've had like... warning. I think I mentioned this last episode.
You mentioned it a lot.
I'm sorry. I'm tired.
Mish has had her first busy week.
And I have had my first... But I have, in 2 days, so in 48 hours,
yeah.
I have an entire day off, day and night.
Oh.
I have no plans. Zero plan. I'm going to tell you what my ideal zero plan day is.
Oh, see, look, Mish, before we started this podcast, Mish said to me, what are we going to talk about? And I was like, Mish, we never plan what we're going to talk about. The whole idea is we're meant to talk about the show.
It's true. We never plan. However, Zach and I did just have a lengthy chit chat and catch up.
And you don't want to hear that shit. That's biz. We were talking about the biz.
The biz.
We were talking about the biz. And I said to Mish, I said, Mish, the whole idea is we're meant to get to the movie and then we end up talking shit.
Yeah.
It will come to you. And look how quickly it came to you. What is your ideal day off? That is the most ABC breakfast radio shit.
I just did an ABC radio.
That is... you could do talkback radio with that question. And you were like, what are we going to talk about? The moment we start recording, you get the best talkback radio question you've ever thought of.
I'm
in your
a natural.
Life.
I've got it, baby. I actually did radio this week.
I know you did.
A bit of fun, bit of ABC radio.
What is your ideal day, nothing day?
Nothing day?
Yeah.
I wake up at 9 o'clock.
Oh, my God.
Now, 9 o'clock is a big sleep in for me. I'm usually a 7 o'clock girl,
yeah.
Right? 7:30. So I wake up at 9 o'clock because for some reason my dog has allowed this, right?
So your dog is elsewhere?
He's napping.
Okay. This is not just what would I plan for my ideal day off? Mm-hmm. This is like... What would I ask God to give me for my ideal day off?
Yes, that's right.
So the dog is napping till 9.
Yeah. Oh, he's been up and about. He's taken a poo and he's done a wee and he's just enjoying himself, right?
He's living his life.
I get up. I wake up and this my hair, for some reason, looks great.
Great.
You know when you wear your hair up when you go to sleep and then you take your hair out and like 20% of the time it slaps? I'm having one of those days.
I'm a 5% of the time, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, 100.
The wearing it up has added a natural, voluminous wave.
Yep, that's the vibe.
Rather than a crinkle,
yep,
it's added a wave.
And I have all clean laundry that's been put away and folded. I put on my favorite undies.
Underwear.
Black full briefs.
This is way too detailed.
Yeah, this is going to take a long time.
Not,
no,
not,
what I'm wearing not because, is important.
Not because of I want to hear this. Mm. Our listener wants to hear this. Mm. It's way too detailed because I didn't think I had to come with that level
It's not going to be that deep. It's just I think what I am wearing is important.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I put on my favorite undies, my favorite pair of baggy, super soft, tracky panties, right, and a pair of nice socks, and then a long like boyfriend style t-shirt that's super soft.
Mm.
And then I put my harness on my dog and we go for a walk and he is so calm.
Yeah.
He's chill. And now I've spoken about my dog previously on this podcast and he's the anti-chill on a walk. He's a super reactive baby. We love him dearly, but going for walks with him is hell on earth.
Yeah.
We do it every single day and have done for 3 years, but it is hell. He's just really calm. He's like very happy. We go and we get a coffee. I'm up to a free one on my stamp card, so it's free.
Fucking hell, Mish.
I know, bloody hell.
You're putting a lot of pressure on this day off.
Yeah. Wait, is this tomorrow? Because my partner's working. So my partner's not working. It's a different thing.
What do you mean? Is this tomorrow?
Am I saying like what I plan on doing tomorrow? Or am I saying my ideal?
You're saying your ideal. Your dog is. Yeah.
Yeah. My partner's not working that day.
And your partner takes the dog for a walk?
He comes with us. We go on the walk together.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. And then we drop Stanley off home. We get in the car and we go and we have a brunch.
It's nice.
So this is my time with my partner because right now all I want is time to myself, but I would love to hang out with him for a little bit. So we go and get a delicious brunch at our favorite brunch place.
This is a loaded day off, man.
No, it's now at this point it's like 9:45. Oh, wait, 10 o'clock.
But this is what I'm saying. You're doing a lot. You want
to
know?
No, I'm not yet. I'm about to do nothing. So we go to Terra Twilight in Collingwood. That's what I'm vibing right
now. Good docks.
Yeah, and we go and have a nice...
in yourself.
I don't live near there.
Now people are going to come to Terra and go, snap, snap, snap.
Yeah, that does happen like that, doesn't it?
The paps are on to you now.
Damn it. Damn it. Why is my life so difficult and famous? Anyway, go and have a delicious brunch and then we go home.
Yeah.
And at this point, my partner goes in and does whatever the fuck he wants to do. I lie down on the couch.
Yeah, couch.
Take off my bra.
Oh.
Bra is off.
Yeah.
I take off my bra and I curl up in a like fetal position on the side, my face facing the television. My dog then lies in a little donut.
Yeah.
In between where my butt and my legs have like made a, like a little fetal position, he's like in that nook, right? And we lie there and I start a television show, something like The Vampire Diaries.
Yeah.
Something like Sex in the City. I just did that one.
Okay.
Something simple that I've never seen before.
Yeah.
But it's simple. Pretty Little Liars, I could do that. Season 3 of True Blood, I could do that.
Yeah.
Just some, and I just watch 4 or 5 hours of that, right? 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
That point, my partner comes downstairs and we have to play with Stanley. So even on my ideal day off, my dog is happy.
Yeah.
So we then do, this is so long.
Yeah, do you want to know my ideal day off?
I haven't finished.
Okay.
I'll make it quick.
There you go.
We play with Stanley and then at around about 6:30, my partner's like, I'm ordering dinner. I'm like, absolutely you are. I go and I have a bath with about 5 different products in it. I then use this body wash I just bought that's got a little exfoliant. I exfoliate.
Did you really just buy it?
Yeah.
I didn't know if you just bought it in the situation.
No, I bought it 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
And I exfoliate. It was pretty spenny and I don't use it often. I exfoliate my entire body until I feel like a fucking seal.
Yeah.
And I smell really good and I'm warm. And then I put on some fresh Jimmy Jammies. And I go downstairs and I lie on my partner and we eat Thai food and we watch a movie together. That is my, and I have not had to have an important thought all day.
Yeah. You don't know my ideal day off?
What's that?
I rot.
Yeah, you love
I
a rot
rotten. In that bed.
How long are you in bed for?
I don't leave it. I didn't even know. You say when I woke up, the line between awake and asleep is too blurry to give you a time. I rot. You see Mulholland Drive, yeah?
Yeah.
You know when they discover a corpse in the bed? Mm. That's what I look like. I'm just a rotted corpse in the bed.
And you just kind of like glide between sleeping and awake.
Yeah, between this world and the next. Oh, no, I'm all right.
So you, on your ideal day off, you don't clean yourself?
No, I'm going to be serious here. That's my typical day off. What's my idea? What's my ideal day off? No, you rotted to death.
That's just what I do when I'm deeply depressed. What's my ideal day off?
No, do you know what? I think it's a no alarm on the phone is a huge thing. I couldn't tell you the time I wake up because I wake up when my body tells me to wake up. But if this is the ideal day off, but I happen to wake up quite early.
Mm.
You know, so I don't set a time, but hey, I'm kind of up and nine is, you know, eight, nine.
Mm. That's is nine early. Just feels like early, late.
So I have not forced myself to wake.
Mm-hmm.
There is no alarm,
mm-hmm.
but I have woken up at such a time that I'm not going to be up at 4 a.m. fucking wanting to die.
Yeah.
So, 9 o'clock. Hey, I'll still get an all right night's sleep. And then I don't get out of bed necessarily. I rot.
Yeah.
No, and then maybe I go to the spare room or I go upstairs. I'm going to just watch some YouTubes.
Do you have walkies?
No walk. On this ideal day off, my dog doesn't need a walk. It's her day off walking. Those have lined up.
That's the dream.
Right, those have lined up. It's like, actually, you know what? She's had enough walks. And I feel comfortable in the fact that she doesn't really need a walk.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll take her out for a wee. Mm-hmm. But ideal day off, no, I don't need to walk her. I watch some YouTube.
Does Mabel ever piss on the balcony?
No, she doesn't. She doesn't even piss in the courtyard.
Yeah.
So then I go.
Yummy foods.
No pressure. Yeah. Did I have breakfast? No, I rotted.
Yeah.
No, did I have breakfast? I think I did. I think I had. Like, I think I had leftovers.
Mm.
I think I had leftover pizza for breakfast.
Yum. Is it warm? Did you heat it up?
No.
Cold pizza?
No, I warmed it up. No, I had a sausage sandwich with leftover sausages.
Warm sausages?
No. Warm toast, mm-hmm. cold sausages.
Sauce? Tomato sauce?
Yeah. Or maybe a little English muffin.
Mm.
But I made a little thing. No, I think sausage sandwich because I didn't think too much about it.
I used to love a sausage sandwich.
Then I'm sitting upstairs and I'm watching YouTubes and then there's no pressure on me to do anything. Mm. But I go, you know what? I'm going to go watch a movie. Fun. And then I just trundle on down to an art house cinema. So I've had the energy. This is all like, and I go down and I just watch whatever's on.
Mm.
And I watch the movie and it's good. I go, oh, fuck, that was really good. And I had no intention. It's a movie that I had no intention of watching because
mm-hmm.
I never have time to go to the movies. It's something I love to do, but I never have time to do. But this is a movie I had no intention of watching.
I just realized as well that in my ideal day off, I just didn't leave the house. But that's my headspace right now. I just want to be home. No,
that's great. That's perfect.
Yeah.
My ideal day off, there's a very clear psychology in my ideal day off, which is that I don't have to leave the house.
Mm.
But I choose to.
Yeah, it's nice.
I get to about midday and I go, you know what? I could go watch a movie. I go watch the movie out of choice and it's not a movie I intended on watching, right? This is not something I've been hyping up. It's just like, oh, I'll see that. And it's great.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, boy, what a discovery get snackies this at the movie is. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. That's what I kind of have for lunch is like some popcorn and a chuck top. I get home. I take the dog out for a poo. That's all she needs
because
she's feeling enriched.
She's happy.
And then takeaway.
What takeaway? Little burgie?
No, I think Thai.
Yeah,
based Thai's on what I've just described. I think a Thai kind of situation or like a Aussie Chinese has its charm. Like a fried rice.
Fried rice and a stir fry.
Yes, fried rice and a
spring
and a
roll,
beef and black pepper, or a Chinese broccoli with garlic, or a fried rice is.
I haven't eaten since breakfast, so this is killing me.
Fried rice is a big thing. I think Chinese.
Yeah, that's such a good day.
And then another movie.
At home or out?
Home movie. Yeah.
With partner?
Yeah, yeah. Something easy, like a comedy.
I love that.
Because, yeah.
I love that day. Oh, God, I can't wait till Monday. But funny thing is, it's like I'm finally coming to Monday. It's like I really could do anything I want, and I'm literally just going to eat about half a loaf of bread and Vegemite toast.
You're going to rot.
And watch Survivor. I will rot. I will rot on Monday.
You're going to rot.
Hey, when we come back from the ad, we're going to talk about rot.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back from the ad break, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
There was an ad break. There was an ad.
He's hoping.
Rot.
I have a story.
Okay. This is rot story.
I was cleaning out my crisper in the fridge, right?
And, real rot.
Yeah. And I'd cleaned the whole thing and it was fine. But I hadn't noticed that. So I clean out the drawer like quite often. But I hadn't noticed that something had fallen behind the drawer. And I went, oh, God, what the fuck is that? And I pulled out and it was a plastic bag, like a supermarket plastic bag. And it was a liquid. I have no idea what it was. It wasn't big. It would have been one item. It could have been a tomato. It could have been a passion fruit. It could have been some sort of small thing that had liquefied. But I have absolutely no idea what it was. And that's rot. That's on rot.
That's rot. Mish, you've got a little blurb for us.
All right. So we are talking about season 2, episode 6 of Bloodline. You can watch it on Netflix. I'm just...
give them a go. Give Netflix a go.
Yeah, it's not... I reckon they're going to be big. I will just... This is just a friendly reminder to all of our listeners that Zach and I are currently watching this series, Bloodline. John Leguizamo did not feature in this series until episode 3 of season 2. So we had to start watching at episode 3, season 2, which means that the vast majority of what we are doing at the moment is trying to figure out what this storyline is, who the characters are and why they're there. We literally have no idea what's going on. So let's get into season 2, episode 6. It's season 2, episode 6, and I still fucking hate this. So, Kyle Chandler is dodgy for sure. We know that Kyle Chandler is dodgy. He's acting like he's going to be exposed for something, and I'm guessing it's drugs at this point. Velma, as in from Scooby-Doo, asks Chloe Sevigny to get some info from a nurse about the sheriff, and Chloe delivers the goods. There's tension there, but it is literally tension between everybody. Not one person in this show doesn't have tension with another person. There's so much tension. Kyle Chandler's daughter goes shopping with Nancy, as in from the movie Nancy that we've watched, and they talk about weed and they try on a nice dress.
Yeah.
Then she invites her emo, like that emo kid, as in like Kyle Chandler's daughter, invites that emo child, who is Danny's son, we figured that out last episode, to a family dinner. But then she ends up yelling at her grandmother about how her grandmother, Sissy Spacek, killed Danny. And then she gets slapped in the face for saying that. Now, also last episode, I said, I think that Sissy Spacek killed, had something to do with it, right?
Yeah.
And so this daughter just said, you killed, and she got slapped. Who's Kevin? There's a guy named Kevin who's popping up a lot. Kevin's about to have a baby. About 5 other characters float in and out of this episode, but I'm making the choice to ignore them, so here's hoping they're not important. John Leguizamo is in full menace mode, slashing Kyle Chandler's wife's tires.
Yep,
and writing cryptic notes in matchboxes. He knows something about Kyle Chandler, which pisses Kyle Chandler off so much that he beats the shit out of John Leguizamo at a motel.
What an ending.
Yeah.
I mean,
massive. So that's just a breakdown of what happened in that episode.
And I'm going to jump straight to the end.
Okay.
When he bashes this, when Coach, early edition.
Yeah.
I never watched Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
So for me, it's early edition.
And also, am I right in saying, we haven't addressed this yet.
Hmm.
Am I right in saying that Kyle Chandler is like your partner's celebrity crush?
That's there. She loves Coach.
Yeah.
So
that's true. That's true, right?
That's true.
Okay. Yeah. That's an interesting layer to add to this.
But I was talking to someone else that said Kyle Chandler was their celebrity crush.
Get out of town, because I always thought that was the strangest choice.
Lena Moon. Got to get Lena Moon on this pod. Lena Moon has a little thing for Kyle Chandler.
Lena's going to get a bloody call in a couple
nights. Lena, you're getting a phone call. Friend of the pod, Lena Moon. Getting a phone call, talking about Kyle Chandler. Okay. I've talked about Early Edition on this podcast, haven't I? You remember Early Edition?
No.
Yes. Really?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
I have talked about it. You know Early Edition?
Mm-hmm.
That's Kyle Chandler.
Yep.
That's okay. All I say. There's a motherfucker from Early Edition. And then he's swearing and beating people up. I'm like, dude, you're from Early Edition. What are you doing? You get the newspaper a day early. You use it to save little old ladies' lives. And now you're bashing up.
So this was the first episode where there's something going. I think there is something about Kyle Chandler's character, whose name is John, which is very confusing when you're doing a podcast about John Leguizamo.
John Leguizamo.
So we're just going to call him Kyle Chandler.
I'm going to call him Early Edition or Coach.
Okay. We can call him Coach.
It's cool. If we're referring to Kyle Chandler, Early Edition or Coach.
Yeah.
We're referring to the same person.
Yeah,
if we say John, Legs, or Ozzy,
yeah,
which is the name of John Leguizamo's character, or John Leguizamo,
yeah,
we're referring to John Leguizamo's character.
Got
easy.
It.
So Early Edition.
Yeah.
What about Early Edition?
So, Coach, I think there is something that happened with Kyle Chandler in last season.
Yeah.
That we're meant to know about.
Can I say where I'm at is I'm now, there's two things happening. I'm now in the flow of the show.
Yep. Okay.
Right. I feel.
I'm glad one of us is.
I feel now that I'm in a place.
Yeah.
I feel a deep sense of regret that I'm not watching the critically acclaimed first season.
Oh my God, so much.
But I also feel like the old days where you come into a show late. I now have a bit of a sense of who the characters are, to the point that the reason why I was going to say when he bashes up, you think he's going to go and talk to John Leguizamo and he bashes him up instead.
Mm-hmm.
John Leguizamo keeps pushing his buttons.
But because John Leguizamo knows something about, we don't know what it is, but he knows something about Kyle Chandler.
Is the scene where he confronts him at the urinal in this episode or the last episode?
This episode.
Where he confronts him and he says, don't you want to know what I want?
Yeah.
And then he's like, I want you to fuck off or something like that. I'm like, Early Edition, no. and then Leguizamo leaves him a threatening note. He's like, ask me what I want. And then you go, all right, he's finally going to ask him.
Mm-hmm.
But instead he bashes him up. And I feel like that moment for me, when he bashes him up, I was like, oh my God, no. And there was two reasons for that. One is because it's like, just ask, dude.
Yeah.
Just ask.
It would help us out a lot.
But it'd also just help you. Like, why wouldn't you go, hey, what do you want? Okay, now I'll bash you up.
Yeah.
So firstly, I'm like, oh my God, no, because that's a silly thing to do.
Well, no, because Kyle Chandler knows what he wants.
Yeah. And two.
That's what I've read from that. It's like, I'm bashing you up because
I know you're going to ask for money. You're going to blackmail me.
No, you're going to ask for something that reveals me to be a real shitty
bloke. But what if he says $500?
All right, yeah, $500.
I'd be like, oh, shit. Okay, I thought you were right. Yeah, I can give you $500. Like, you don't know what he thinks is a lot of money for a blackmail. No. The second reason is because I was like, that was my moment where I was like, okay, I'm in the flow of the show. If something can surprise me about a character, then I'm in the rhythm of the character.
100%.
If this was the first episode I had watched, I think there would have been a good chance I would have been like, oh, Kyle Chandler's the kind of guy that goes and bashes people up without asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would be shocked because that's Coach.
Mm-hmm.
That's the guy from Early Edition.
Yeah.
Wasn't expecting that. But broadly speaking, I would go, that's it. Where I was like, I feel in the rhythm of this show, because that shocked me.
Yeah.
And I knew that was meant to shock me.
Okay.
That's where I'm at. On the rhythm of it. And then there's another thought, but you know, what are you? You're not in the rhythm of it.
No, yet. I'm really struggling. I really don't like not knowing. I don't like that we're not allowed to look it up.
Which and is why I impose.
And I say that, I say with absolute honesty, I have not looked up anything.
Yeah.
And it is killing me. I will often like a series so much that I will look up the end of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Before
yeah.
I get
yeah,
to
yeah, right.
It.
So not only is this something that is hurting you because, like, but actually it's something. Yeah, yeah. Right. That's fucked that you would look up the ending yeah. on purpose, deliberately.
Yeah, I know. I don't like it about
that's
myself.
That's really
like.
No, that's
sometimes I watch Survivor. Sometimes I watch Survivor and look up who the winner is.
I will.
Which is horrible. It's a horrible trait. I hate that about myself.
Can I ask? You know, that's whatever. You do you, babe. But you look up the end. Because sometimes if there's a show on and I really want to read about it, mm-hmm. I'll risk the end being given away mm-hmm. and I'll look it up and go, oh, now I know the
no,
end. But you look up the
well,
end.
Well, see, I often am very late to shows. So, I mean, I'll use The OC as an example, right? Yeah. I don't know. How many seasons were there of The OC? Six?
Four?
Four?
Four that I can remember.
Oh, if there's only four, that's a bad... How many seasons were there of Frasier?
Oh, I don't know. Seven, eight.
Seven, eight. Great. Let's say I decided I've never watched Frasier really. Here and there an episode if my mother was watching it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But I don't know anything about Frasier or any of the dynamics.
Watching a
Frasier,
yeah.
If I decided I wanted to watch all of Frasier, I would probably get through about 2.5 seasons because I binged it and then go, I can't watch another 6 seasons of this, but I've enjoyed this 2.5. What happens at the end? And then I look it up.
Okay, that's different.
That's what I mean. But sometimes with Survivor... Older seasons.
You'll struggle, you go.
I will
know.
Sometimes look up who the winner is. Yeah.
But
it's an interesting watch if before you watch a season, you go, who's the winner, and you can watch their trajectory to winning. I don't look up the odd. I just look up the one person who I don't know who came with
whatever,
them.
Whatever, that's your choice.
But anyway, so it's killing me not looking it up. I'm really, really confused by Sissy SpaceX character. I don't know if she's bad or she's good. She's hitting kids. She smacked her granddaughter in the fash.
Yeah.
She did. But something we learnt for sure as well is that Nolan, who is the emo kid, who is Danny's son and Danny's dead, that son has been kind of like rejected from the family a bit and he hasn't been around and they don't really fully embrace Nolan. And you are kind of getting the feeling, or I am, that Danny was very much the like, outsider.
I feel
the black
pretty,
sheep of the family.
See, this is where I'm like, I feel pretty confident in that. Like,
yes.
I feel like...
Well, I'm scared to say anything in case, like, the next episode I find out that Danny was actually, like, the head of the family. And it, like, I don't know, Zach!
So here's what I think, Mish. Here's what I think.
Yeah.
Two things. There's this mystery, you know, there's this unsolved murder.
Mm-hmm.
You know... was it this episode where the sheriff? Yeah, the sheriff. No, that was last episode where the sheriff keeps the case open. They're at the like press conference.
That's one of the characters that I left out in both my
but
brain.
The sheriff is like they're keeping on this murder case.
Yes, yes, yes.
And one thing I find funny
mm-hmm.
is that the way this series is clearly structured for someone watching it. Is it's like, oh no, that sheriff is gonna figure out what happened. And the perspective is how close are they getting to what happened? But from my perspective, I'm with the sheriff.
Yeah, like keep it open.
We gotta find out who killed Daddy.
That's so true. Because if the sheriff was just like, all right, well, I'm dropping the case, you and me would never find out. Everyone else fucking knows.
This show is structured around,
Who the fuck killed him? I don't know. Well, the granddaughter said that Sissy Spacek did it. Do you think that's too obvious?
No, I don't think. I think what she meant was like,
you didn't protect him.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, she's just, I don't think Sissy Spacek had, I might be wrong.
Have you ever seen a movie called The Mummy Market?
No.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay, so.
Has this got anything to do with Did Sissy Spacek Do It?
It's got everything to do with Sissy Spacek. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, I know we say a lot, hey, if you haven't done this, in the comments, I really mean this. I am talking directly to you, listener, if you're listening right now. If you have seen a movie called The Mummy Market, in fact, I think it had one of those alternative names as well.
I love a movie like that.
The movie was called The Mummy Market. It has the chick from My Girl in it. And a Chomsky.
Oh.
And Sissy Spacek. And it's about three kids who make a wish that their mum is not their mum anymore. And they wake up and their mum is gone. And then they go to the mummy market and they have three chances to try a different mother. But all the mums in it are played by Sissy Spacek.
Mish, can I retract my previous?
You've seen this movie.
I'm pretty sure. But I might be thinking of the one where Samantha from Sex and the City is a mannequin that comes to life.
That's called Mannequin.
But I feel like...
That's the movie Mannequin, and that is a fabulous film.
Is Mannequin and Mummy Market... this is going to be a weird way. I'm not saying same genre, but is it fair that Mannequin and Mummy Market have merged in my memory? That I watched them around the same time?
I don't think so, because Mummy Market is a children's film. And Mannequin is like a teenager's film, early adult.
But are they both a bit 80s?
Mummy Market is 90s. It's My Girl, like Anna Chlumsky, her about maybe 5 or 6 years after My Girl.
Okay, so where I'm really coming from, did I watch both of those films on television in 1996.
Yes, that's, yeah. Yes, that you're there. We got it. We found it.
Yeah. Because I think
if
I
you
have seen
Mummy, the Mummy Market, can you just like jump in and just be like, I've seen it, and what you loved about that film, or what you remember from that film? Because I was watching this.
I remember a silk scarf, but I think I'm thinking of Mannequin.
I just remember this, like she's playing a clown, and she goes, "We have to go on tour." That's all I remember.
Yeah.
But like, and I just remember them all crying and something to do with making pancakes. Anyway, I was watching this episode of Bloodline and Sissy Spacek was being yelled at by her granddaughter. And all of a sudden I haven't thought about that movie since I was like 7 years old. And it just was like, oh my God, The Mummy Market. Please let me know if you've seen it. Thank you very much.
Now that you've mentioned The Mummy Market, what about that one with the 2D books?
The Page Master?
Yeah.
I love that film.
Yeah.
The Page Master is Macaulay Culkin and Whoopi Goldberg is in that.
Is she?
Whoopi Goldberg voices the fantasy book.
Ah, yeah.
No, the fairy tale book.
When you said, haven't thought about that movie in a long time, that made me think of The Page Master, which I
Page Master was great. Christopher Lloyd was in that. He was the librarian.
Gee, funny, the last time I think I watched that film was in the school library.
That was a great movie.
Mish,
yeah.
Do I think she did it? Look, I might be wrong. Maybe there was a moment where she's like, you know what you need to do. But at the most, that's what she did.
Okay.
She said to Chandler, she said, I didn't list those as acceptable names. She said to Coach, she said, you know what you need to do.
Yeah.
I think that's the most she did. If she did anything, I don't think she did anything. But if she did anything, it was raining outside, it was dark, and she said to Coach, you know what you need to do. But I actually don't think she said anything. And I think that what that moment was like, you killed him. And she was like, I didn't kill him. Because here's what I think I know. Mm-hmm. Is it time? I think what season one was this. I think season one was a show about a family. A family in Miami. A powerful family. A family with a lot of political influence in their small town, not Miami, in Florida, in their small town in Florida, in their county, because their dad owned a motel, maybe. I think that it was a story about the family. You definitely had Velma as the lawyer, all of that. But I think at the core of this series, at the very, very core, at the very, like, pinnacle of this series is there are two brothers.
Well, there's a lot of brothers, though, because Kevin's a brother too.
Yeah, but I think season two, we're getting to know all the characters. Season one, those are characters. But at the core of the show is two brothers. One, a cop, a detective, on his way to maybe one day being sheriff. Not as overtly said, but he's a good, upstanding cop, good man, pillar of the community. But his family's a bit fucked up. On one side. On the other side is Ben Mendelsohn, the fucked up brother. The one that knows the history of this family. The one that knows the ill-gotten gains of this family. The one that will bring it all down because he does drugs and sells drugs and is involved with the drug man. It's a story of two brothers from the same fucked up family. One, a pillar of the community.
Yep.
The other, a drug dealer and baddie.
Yeah.
And it was that story. And then I think, in a grand twist,
yeah,
at the end of season one, I think that the brother died.
How?
Now, Mish, I'm not so sure.
Okay. This is my, because I'm on board. That got me excited, right? I was feeling that shit. This is my theory, right? Because I'm with you. I feel it. Clearly this family has a lot of impact in this little town with the Rayburns, right? There's so many of them, for fuck's sake. They're everywhere,
yeah,
right? I have a feeling, and this is like I've just created this story in my head because I'm right there with you. There's clearly one son who's adored and one son who was rejected. We know that. I reckon the one that was rejected, based on previous scenes we've seen, was really cleaning up his act, right?
Oh!
Yeah. He was really clean, the druggy boy, Mendelsohn.
Yeah, okay.
Because we saw him in the restaurant with his son. He's trying to be a cool, he's like trying to create a relationship again with his son.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I reckon he was trying to do good. And I reckon in trying to do good, he's letting down someone in his family who maybe buys druggies off him or works with him, who's just as bad as him but kept a really good reputation, right? And I reckon my guess is that whoever that person was in the family who was like using the brother to get, you know, had same interest, same druggy interest.
Feels like a backwards writer's room.
Yeah, no, it's horrible.
Feels like we're trying to find this.
And
story.
Sissy Spacek knows about it.
Knows about what? The drugs.
Knew about it all the whole time. So in some way was complicit in the murder of Danny by this family member.
So,
and I wonder if maybe the other brother knew about it too.
Which one? Chandler?
Chandler.
Coach.
And like that friend, his mate, the one who's just like, why the fuck is it? Like he's just getting fucked on by everybody. I've forgotten his name. I was always out on boats.
Wait, the druggy. That's a brother. Didn't we establish that it was a brother last
week? No, that's
week?
Not another brother. That's the mate. That's Danny's friend. He's just a friend.
Not the brother.
The one that Ozzy, John Leguizamo's character, is like hanging out with a bit.
Ah, that guy. I cannot express to you how much I just haven't even registered him.
Oh, okay. I think he might have, like, I think he knows and has been given hush money or something.
I don't know. Space in my brain
for that guy. I feel like we're close. We're getting there. But I reckon that if even though Danny was dodgy, there are other people in the family that were just as dodgy benefiting off his dodginess.
That's okay. I think that's a good theory. I want to sit with it. Maybe. Let me sit with that. I don't think Sissy Spacek had anything to do with it. And I could be wrong, but I feel like it's good to go in with a swing. I think metaphorically she did.
Yep.
Like, I think that, like, she was responsible for the division. You know, she's the mother, she's the matriarch. But I don't think she had any direct hand in the murder of Mendo.
I do.
I love that.
There's another reason I do. It's because it's Sissy Spacek.
I think
Sissy It's the Spacek, Al Pacino in Righteous Kill thing. Why did you sign on to this?
Because I think it's like it's a great matriarchal figure. I think she was a part of the drama. I don't think she was a part of the murder.
Okay.
I think the murder is centered on Coach. But I don't know if Coach did it.
I don't think he did. It would be too, like, we would know if he did.
Fair. Well, if we saw him do it at the end of season one, they wouldn't need to tell us again.
Yeah, that's true.
Or he either did it or he was with him.
Yep, I believe
and
that.
And he got sucked in and he was there when someone else did it. And because he was there.
Are you open to it being potentially him and Sissy Spacek?
I think it's interesting to vote against it, particularly because you're swinging in so hard. I really don't think she did. I think she's like the matriarchal figure. I think it would destroy her to know that one of her sons was responsible for the death of her other son.
Isn't it so interesting if she's this matriarchal figure and everyone looks up to her in that certain way, but she's actually a dodgy cunt?
Well, I think at most, as I've said, at most, there was a scene where she said to Coach, "You know what you need to do."
This is a reverse writer's room, and I love it.
I don't think she had anything to do with it.
Okay.
I think Coach did. I think Coach is either directly responsible for his death. I think maybe he murdered his brother. Or he threw some kind of self-defense or negligence, feels responsible for his brother's death.
And he knows who did it.
He knows who did it, but to reveal that information gets him in trouble.
In fairness, who else would it be? He's the only one who's acting sus as fuck.
The other brother?
Kevin. No, it's not Kevin.
Kevin.
It's not Kevin. Kevin can fuck off. Maybe it's Velma. No.
No.
Anyway.
She can't do anything in those heels.
True.
Trotting around in those heels.
True.
Put on a pair of runners.
Yeah, true. All right, you got any final thoughts?
I'm in the rhythm of this show. I'm now enjoying it. I feel confident in my assessment of the two central brothers to the point that I go, gee whiz.
Geez willikers.
I wish I was watching the this feels like a show missing one of its main stars. I feel like this was a show where, like, I look at those siblings and I'm like, fuck, that dynamic needs a Ben Mendelsohn. Wouldn't a Ben Mendelsohn just be the glue?
Also worth noting, maybe this is my final thought. It's not. There's no more flashbacks. No flashbacks in this episode.
Yeah, no Mendo?
No Mendo.
I think they were like, we're going to give you a bit of Mendo because... Well,
tasty Mendo treat.
Well, who doesn't love a bit of Mendo?
My final thought is that John Leguizamo is full menace, tough.
Fuck, we didn't talk about him
no,
at all.
No, he came up. He's playing this menacing tough guy. At one point, he's just having a little bit of cheeky banter with one of his friends, and his friend's just like, "You're going to fuck this for us or something," and he just grabs this guy by the throat and starts going, "Don't you fucking tell me what to do," or something like that, and it's the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life. And it's amazing because I've seen John Leguizamo, you know, pissing about on stage and having a laugh and a gig. And look at him go.
Dangerous Daddy Guzama.
Yeah. It's good.
It's good.
And I think that I love this role for him.
Me too.
It's the bad guy.
Yeah.
It's the bad. Well, we don't know. Maybe he's not. But like at this point, they're palming him off as being the bad guy, the threat to expose it all. And I love that because I would really like him to expose it to me.
Yeah, I'd love him to say... I'd love him to say, when Coach went round to the hotel, I was like, oh, good. He's going to say.
Yeah. Okay, I'm giving it 4 Leguizamos. I gave it 4 last time. I'm doing it again. 4 Leguizamos.
What did I give it last time?
I think 4.5 or 4.
Yeah. I got to give it 4.
Yeah. That's a solid. It's a solid.
And I give it.
And as always, if you have watched this show. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. That was so rude of me.
No, I was just going to say I would give it 3.5. I give it 0.5 star because I like it. I find it fascinating how he chose to eat the pancakes. Because whenever you eat in a scene, that's a choice.
Yeah.
And I think it made me want to go back and see how does John Leguizamo choose to eat in a scene? Because he goes, he's like really going at it with the fork. Yeah. And I'm like, I think he's adding some busy business so he's not eating so much. He like cuts the other part of the pancake. So it's very busy, but he's not like crunching all the way through.
That's interesting.
And I thought, oh, is that how one eats a pancake?
I fucking love pancakes.
I give it 0.5 star. For how John Leguizamo ate the pancake.
So 4 all up?
4 all up.
Beautiful. As always, if you have previously watched Bloodline, can you please let us know how we are doing? I think we're getting somewhere, though.
Yeah.
Like, we're scratching at it. I want
but
this...
without saying what... Yeah, give
oh,
us a
score.
Oh, do
not tell us. Do not tell us. Just give us a score. 10, we're on the money. 0, we are so far off.
And separate scores.
Yeah, but we're kind of combining our thing. Sort of.
Sort of, yeah. We're sharing it, but the Sissy Spacek, it's like the mole. Yeah. You know how they get more specific? The Sissy Spacek will be the decider.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you so much for listening as per. We will speak to you next week. Tom, can you take us away? Zach asked you to cut something before because he needed to blow his nose.
So you'd like him to just...
Just insert the sound of Zach blowing his nose over and over again. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, I don't give a shit. I just don't think that's very pleasant for the list.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
No.
It's funny though.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, everyone. And have a great week.